What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
And welcome back to another episode of the Spurs Cast. On today's episode, I will be going solo, answering some fan questions sent in via Twitter. And I'm going to be discussing some potential free agents, Fred VanVleet of the Toronto Raptors and Austin Reaves of the Los Angeles Lakers, and also a player under contract in Jaylen Brown of the Boston Celtics. So let's go ahead and go right into this episode. This is going to be an episode where I'm glad if you're listening on audio, that's great. But also, I think on visuals, it would help out if you watch the video on YouTube, on our Project Spurs Network YouTube, just because there's going to be a lot of stats, a lot of financial information in here. I will, of course, present it here in audio format, but it's just easier on the eyes if you see a lot of what I've laid out here by doing some research over the last few days for these three questions. So I thank you all, those of you that sent these questions in. And again, if you want to send some questions to me over the off season, I will answer those questions over on my Twitter page at Paul Garcia NBA, and if it's a really big financial question, I'll go ahead and take some time to research and dig into it and then present it here on the Spurs Cast if it's an answer that I think that a broad audience would like to hear. So let's go to begin with this first question. This was sent in via Twitter. This was from at Porto Wolves. Their question was, how much is VanVleet projected to get, Fred VanVleet of the Toronto Raptors? I feel like he'd be a perfect fit. So first, let's look at the salary info for Fred VanVleet. So he does have a player option coming up this offseason. So he has until June 15th to make that decision on a $22.8 million player option. So if he declines the player option, then yes, he becomes an unrestricted free agent. If he exercises the player option, then he does stay on the Raptors for one more year. The next year, he would be a unrestricted free agent. So he is expected to decline this to try to seek more money in the offseason from either the Raptors or another team. So The first question is, what is the max that he can receive? Now, I don't think he's going to get this max, but let's just talk about what is the max. The most he can get in a deal is $40.2 million. Again, we don't see him being a player who's going to get a max salary. But let's look at his past in terms of finances and where did he say no to from the Raptors. So according to Bobby Marks of ESPN, this past season, the Raptors did offer VanVleet a four-year extension of 4 years for $114 million in the past season. And that would have been an average amount of $28.5 million. Now, this coming summer, that would have kicked off in year one of that extension at $25.5 million. So we could see two ways for VanVleet, his thought process here. Is he seeking more than that $25.5 million from a team or the Raptors? Or is he seeking even more than that average annual, which is $28.5 million? So maybe we're looking at, is he asking for like that 20 to a new deal in like $29 to $30 million of year one of his new deal? Or is he just trying to compete with some of the other point guards who got deals last summer, like someone like Jalen Brunson, who Bobby Marks mentioned, who started his new deal with the Knicks at $27.7 million? So that's the key question. I would say What is he seeking, to answer your question? What is he projected to get? I think what he's seeking is about 28 to like 30 million, somewhere in that range is where he's either looking for the Raptors to offer him that kind of deal or another team. Now, let's just say that the Spurs did, you know, they did want to sign Fred VanVleet. And again, I'm not reporting that there's any connection. There's been no reporting that the Spurs have any interest in him. But let's just say they did want to pursue him in free agency, and they do end up signing him to a deal that starts in the $29 million average range. What would happen is the Spurs could still have a lot of flexibility next summer in 2024 to still add another key player, where they'd have $35.4 million in cap space, again, to either pursue a free agent next summer or even to trade for a player in this coming season. And that is with considering, let's say, that Devin Vassell signs an extension at $25 million. So again, financially, the Spurs would still have a lot of flexibility going forward with VanVleet on the team. Now, who is VanVleet, and is he a good fit for the Spurs? Like your question asks, you feel like he would be a perfect fit. So he is a one-time All-Star. He didn't make the All-Star team this past year, but he did make it in 2022, 21-22 season. This season, he had a bit of a decline in some areas. So he averaged 19.3 points per game, 4.1 rebounds, 7.2 assists to 2 turnovers. So he's able to move the ball there for you. 1.8 assists. Where we see, I mean, not 1.8 assists, 1.8 steals. Where we do see that he had a decline was on his twos. He only made 46% of his twos. So again, that's a troubling number there, showing that he's not, he's not finishing very well at the rim or on if he's taking mid-rangers. It's an inefficient number. You would like to see a lot of players, over 50% from two. His 3-point percentage was barely there at 34%, so he barely made the mark, being over 33%. And then his free throw shooting is good, 90% on free throws. So if he signed a 4-year deal with the Spurs, this would take his he would be starting at the age of 29 all the way to the age of 33 before that deal runs out. So we would see him start to like exit his prime years on this deal toward the latter half of that deal. And then also we do want to consider his height, that he is a 6'1 player. He's good defense. He really puts a lot out there defensively, but again, he's always going to have that size disadvantage, and some teams may start to, when they're playing against the Spurs, they may try to target him, those kind of things. And so my question is, going forward, how far do the Spurs go with this squad? So again, let's say you have a foundation of Fred VanVleet, Victor Wembanyama, Jeremy Sochan, and Devin Vassell. Those are your key four players. You could even throw Keldon Johnson there as well, but again, I don't know, let's just say Keldon's on that squad too still. So I'd still say, in a typical season, I would say this is like a 7 to like play-in range team. But because of how much the West is like so close, we saw that teams were like in the 4 or 3 seed were pretty close to like the play-in range. Because if it's another kind of year like this past year, then I feel like they could be, in there like 5 to like play-in range kind of area. Just because if the West is so compacted together like they were this season, it's not like your typical seasons where there's like those top 3-1 to like 5 teams and then everybody else below is kind of like juggling for positioning. This year they were pretty close, pretty much everyone. So again that'd be a good competitive team, and again the good thing is there would be some flexibility for you, because you'd have next summer to still chase a free agent or try to trade for a player on this squad. So I don't know if the Spurs though would VanVleet that player that they would want to invest in right off the bat and adding a Victor Wembanyama. So I'm not sure if they would explore elsewhere in terms of just going right out and trying to pursue him. So again, if they want to try to win immediately and put a real competitive team on the floor, then yeah, maybe they do that real fast. But again, over the overall course of his deal, I don't know if he's going to be that player for San Antonio to kind of move the needle and get them back there. I don't see them going to title contention with VanVleet as that player that they're adding for this group. All right. So thank you at Porto Wolves for sending in that question. Our next question is comes from at AKFort44. Their question was, what would Jaylen Brown to the Spurs look like? That seems like a quality match. Would Brown for Keldon and McDermott and a first move the needle? The nice part for Boston is that you don't have to take back full salary, which might lead to more flexibility. Okay, so there's a lot of information to go through here, and I do want to talk about the Supermax first before even answering this question, because I feel like that's going to kind of answer a lot of our questions already just off the bat. So let's first go to the salary portion. So Jaylen Brown is under contract next season with the Celtics for $31.8 million. Now, because he made he's made two All-Star teams and he made the All-NBA team, the second team this current year, he is now Supermax eligible. So what that means is that starting from July to October, basically the first game before the regular season, the Celtics have the opportunity to sign him to a 5-year extension worth $295 million, which averages out to $59 million per year. With Boston only, because again, they want to try to retain him since he was the player that they drafted. And that begins with next year with a $49.2 million cap hit, which is 35% of the cap in year one of the extension. So Basically, the way to explain what the bonuses of making a Supermax means compared to just being a normal All-Star or normal All-NBA player and just trying to get a max, because Jaylen Brown's only going to have 7 to 9 years of experience in the league, the most the Celtics or any team could usually offer him is just 30% of the cap, which is about $42.2 million next year. But because he's Supermax eligible by making multiple All-Stars and an All-NBA team, he can actually get paid like a veteran who's been playing 10-plus years in the league. So that's 35% of the cap. So that's already a difference. Just let's just say in free agency next year, that's a difference of $7 million off the bat from 42.2, what he'd normally get, compared to now 49.2 as a Supermax eligible player. So if he does sign the Supermax, then this question is pretty much over, because he can't be traded for 1 year from the signing day. So let's say he signs in July, then he can't be traded until next July. Or let's say he signs in October, he can't be traded until next October. So again, if he ends up signing the Supermax, I think that, yeah, Boston has interest in keeping him on the team for the future. Maybe not all 5 years. Maybe after like 2 or 3 years, they do look at maybe trying to trade him if it's not working out. Just my opinion, I do think because of how they've battled back, and I am recording this on a Monday afternoon, and they are going to play game 7 against the Heat tonight. I do think they are going to end up just offering him that Supermax. I mean, I don't think there's a free agent out there or a player they can trade for that's going to bring them the quality of production that Jaylen Brown does that's going to keep them as a title contender. I just don't see any player out there that's going to replace what Brown does for them. Having Brown and Jason Tatum alongside each other has just been a really good team for this group. Now, they haven't won a title yet. But again, we don't know what's going to happen tonight. Maybe they go all the way back to the NBA Finals and end up being a back-to-back finals team. So again, I personally think that they're going to offer him that Supermax. He's going to sign it, and then this is pretty much this question's over. But let's say that that doesn't happen. Let's say that the Celtics don't want to offer him all of that money, because we know that, you know, in this new CBA, there are going to be penalties for teams that are above the second luxury tax area apron. So if there's no Supermax, then next summer he would enter free agency with where a team could offer him a max of $42.2 million in cap space, which is 30% of the cap. So the trade questions, again, this is a scenario where Boston says no on offering Brown that Supermax, is most likely just to make salaries work. Keldon Johnson is likely included. Again, the Celtics are getting a young player, 20 point per game score now, is likely included. But what if Boston wants one of the Spurs young players? What if they want somebody like Malachi Branham, somebody like Jeremy Sohan? Obviously, I think when it's Sohan's name, the Spurs are going to say no. But if it's Branham, do the Spurs, how much do the Spurs think about this, or do they immediately say no? Also, the question is, how many draft picks would the Celtics want? We saw Rudy Gobert get traded to Minnesota for four first-round picks recently in the last 2 years. And so how many draft picks are the Spurs going to ask? Are they going to ask for four and Keldon and Branham? That's the question, I think. So I think there's two questions for both franchises. The question for Boston is, do the Spurs have a player or players they're willing to trade to Boston that keeps Boston in title contention? Because again, if you're going from Jaylen Brown to Keldon Johnson, again, I don't think Boston's no longer a title contender, but is there a young player that the Celtics want that the Spurs aren't willing to part with? I think that's one of the key questions. Do the Spurs have those players on their roster that can keep the Celtics as a title contender? And the question for San Antonio is, when do the Spurs say no when Boston asks for young prospects? So again, who's that young draft pick that the Spurs recently added that the Spurs say no, this deal's over? Like, is it Sohan? Is it Malachi Branham? Those kind of questions come to mind. And then also, how many draft picks is too much? So we know that the Spurs, they have all those draft assets they've made over the last few years in terms of their rebuilding. But now that they have Wembanyama, that question's been answered in terms of who's their foundational piece. But do they want to give away all those future assets to bring in Jaylen Brown when they could still use those in future trades or to add some young players? So I think those are the two questions for these franchises. If Boston wants to be a title contender, I just don't think that they would look at the Spurs as a team to keep them there in terms of them losing Brown. So I don't know. If they want to rebuild, while trying to stay competitive, then yes, I think the Spurs are a good match for them because they can get all those future draft picks from San Antonio while getting a young established player in Keldon Johnson, who's up and coming. Now, let's just say that a hypothetical trade happened. So again, I don't know the pieces in it, but I just know the foundation is probably going to be like Keldon to Boston with some draft picks and then Brown to San Antonio. The Spurs could still have a lot of flexibility next summer where they could still have $40 million in cap space in 2024 with Vassell and a $25 million extension. So this team could have a foundation of Jaylen Brown, Devin Vassell, Victor Wembanyama, and then Jeremy Sohan, and you're also being...
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try. You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Able to add in free agency next summer with $40 million in cap space. You can add an impact player, or you can even trade for a player as well. So again, I think that in terms of going straight into to being a title contender, this helps you way more if you're able to add a player like Jaylen Brown. So what are Brown's stats? Who is he as a player? He is a two-time All-Star, like I mentioned. He made the second team All-NBA for the first time this past season. He's averaging 26.6 points this year, 6.9 rebounds, 3.5 assists, 2.9 turnovers, and then 1.1 steals. He's shot great from two-point range and finishes well at the rim, 58% on twos, 34% on threes, and then 77% on free throws. He's 6'6". And then if he signed the Supermax to Boston, then he's under contract with them from age of 26 to 31. If he were to get traded to the Spurs and then sign a extension with San Antonio, that would he would be 26 to 30 on year four on a 4-year deal, and so he's still in the prime of his career. So again, how good are the Spurs with Brown and Wemby together? I think that they would be really good. I think that now we're talking about a top four West team because you're adding an established All Star, established All NBA level player while giving Wemby 4 years to grow along that side of alongside that player. Not only Wemby, but Devin Vassell and also Jeremy Sohan. Again, I think that becomes more if you're San Antonio, you're trying to get straight back to the title contention. That's a deal where that really helps you get there faster because you're getting an established player in Jaylen Brown who doesn't have, I know he has some liabilities on offense, but you know, he's just an established player who's really helped Boston. I mean, and we seem like again, they got to the NBA Finals last year with Brown and Tatum, and then this year they're going into Game 7 forcing that, and if they win, they could end up going back to the finals back-to-back years. So I know that's a long-winded answer, but again, I just think that because of what the scenario where Boston it did battle back and at least force Game 7, I think that they are going to end up giving Brown that extension. And maybe if they need to trade him down the road, they have 5 years to look at that trade. And again, he's still going to be in all 5 years of that deal. He's still going to be in the prime of his career. So I don't think he's ever going to be a negative a player on that deal for a team that wants to trade for him. So maybe in the future, if Brown ends up signing that extension with Boston, maybe down the road, if Boston has some issues the next 2 or 3 years, then maybe San Antonio could still look at try to trade for him when he's still in the prime of his career again, that age range of 26 to 30. So that's my that's answering the question. Thank you for sending that in regarding Jaylen Brown. All right, and the next topic is not really a question. It's more hypothetical that I've seen, I've heard on a different podcast from national outlets, and even one of our own Project Spurs writers, Matt Lerma, wrote an article about this player. And this is Austin Reeves. He had a really good playoff run with the Los Angeles Lakers. If you watch them, he was basically like the third best player in a lot of the series. And just a lot of different national outlets, I know just Bill Simmons comes to mind, have just offered the Spurs as one of those teams with cap space. So there's been no substantial reporting that says the Spurs are going to target Austin Reeves this offseason, but they fall into that group of teams with cap space, like the Rockets and some other teams that could try to send an offer sheet to Reeves in restricted free agency and try to pry him away from the Los Angeles Lakers, because we see that when I get into the stats, how he's a young player who's really developing and you know, who knows how much better he can be with more opportunity when he's not behind LeBron James and Anthony Davis. So again, that's kind of where this topic comes into question of Austin Reeves. So let's first get into the salary info. And there is a lot here because of one of the specific NBA rules regarding Austin Reeves. So he is only a restricted free agent for $2.2 million qualifying offer with the Lakers. And for the Lakers, they have some routes here that they have to take. Because he's only been with them for 2 years, he has what's called early bird rights. Now, that means that they can only sign him to a max deal of 4 years, $53 million, which is about $13.3 million average annual, unless they will open up cap space, which would require them to let go multiple free agents that they have, like D'Angelo Russell, Rui Hachimura, a few others. So they would have to, if they wanted to give Reeves just them sign him outright, they would have to, again, either offer him that 4 years, $53 million, which I think he's going to get more in the open market at $13 million, or they would have to open cap space, let free agents go, and then use that cap space to get a number that he would want. Now, what if teams send an offer sheet? If the teams like the Spurs or the Rockets or somebody else send an offer sheet to Reeves, then a rule comes into place called the Arenas rule. And I want to give credit to Bobby Marks of ESPN. He had a lot of info on this and really explained it very well if you read his work. The Arenas rule kicks into place. So what this does is this gives a team like the Lakers, who only had early bird rights on Reeves, the ability to match any offer sheet that Reeves gets. So outside teams can offer Reeves still a big deal. You know, his max in year one would be $32.5 million. But they can't offer those first 2 years at that level. They can only offer him 105% of the average salary. So basically, let's just say the Spurs send Reeves a four-year offer sheet, and they want to do it at $80 million. So that's basically $20 million per season for Reeves. The way this will work, and again, this is according to Bobby Marks, is year one of the deal, he gets a low number, $11.4 million. Then year two, it's $11.9 million. Then in years three and four is when you make up that difference and you backload the contract. So in year three, he ends up getting $28.4 million. And then in year four, he ends up getting $28.4 million, which when you put it all together, it makes it an $80 million deal. Now, that's the number that has been floated by different outlets, is that $20 million is what probably we're going to see Reeves get in the offseason from either the Lakers or another team. So that's why I that number is there being used. And so, again, that's how the Spurs or any other team with cap space can't get involved here, is they can really put pressure on the Lakers and saying, we're going to offer them this offer sheet, and are you willing to match? And I think that here's the big questions that come into mind is, what number makes the Lakers say no? Is it $20 million per year for Reeves? Is it 25? Is it, 28? Where does the team get to that makes the Lakers hesitant to say, we want to match this? Because like I mentioned, they have the new CBA does have those penalties for teams that go above the second luxury tax apron. Also, what this might get easier for outside teams like the Spurs if they want to get Reeves. If the Lakers decide that they want to add a third star like Kyrie Irving, again, if they want to add Kyrie or another star, then they would either have to create cap space to sign him outright, which means letting Reeves and multiple free agents go and also making some trades, or they would have to try to do a sign a trade package with the Dallas Mavericks or whatever other team that player is going to the Lakers. So again, and that's probably saying bye to Reeves if you're the Lakers. So again, if the Lakers pursue another player with more star quality like Kyrie Irving, then I think that, yeah, that makes that question easier of prying away Reeves from the Lakers. But if they don't, then that the next question is, where do the Lakers say no in those negotiations of matching an offer sheet? And we got to remember, too, that it's a shorter window. It went from, I think, 48 hours in the new CBA to now 24 hours where the Lakers would have to say yes or no on whether or not they're going to match the offer sheet. And then let's just say that the Spurs were to send an offer sheet to Reeves. The Lakers say no, they don't match it, and he ends up being on the Spurs. Then my question is, how does that impact Keldon Johnson? Because we know that Reeves is more so like a two, and Keldon kind of plays that 2-3 range. You're still going to keep Vassell, so he's going to play, your two or three as well there on the wing. And so I would say Do the Spurs still, they don't have to trade Keldon, but do they still try to move him so that way they have more opportunity for Reeves? Or do they just throw out a lineup where like Reeves runs the point? Because we saw in the playoffs that Reeves can run a lot of pick and roll. He was a very efficient player doing that for the Lakers against all three of their Western Conference opponents in the playoffs. And so maybe the Spurs just throw out like, you know, not a traditional point guard lineup where they have like Reeves, Devin Vassell, Keldon, Sohan, and Wemby. So again, there's all sorts of flexibility the Spurs can have when you add a player like Reeves. Stats wise, who is Reeves as a player? So this season, he averaged 13 points in the regular season, 3 rebounds, 3.4 assists, shot great numbers, 53% shooting on twos, 40%. I mean, this is just overall, should I say, 53% from the floor, 40% on threes, and 86% on free throws. Then in the playoffs, we saw his averages bump up where he really, like I said, he was like basically the third best player for the Lakers in a lot of those series. 16.9 points per game in the playoffs, 4.4 rebounds, 4.6 assists, 46% shooting from the floor. So his numbers on twos did go down a little bit. Shot better from three, 44% on threes, and then 90% from the free throw line. And then just in the Western Conference Finals alone, we saw that 21 points, 5 assists there against Denver. Reeves was again being a player that helped keep the Lakers close in those games, even though they ended up getting swept. And they lost that series. And then again, the good thing about a contract for him, whether it's in the four-year range, is that he's going to be in the prime of his career. He's still developing. He's only 25. And so by the time this deal ends, he's only going to be 29. He'll still be in the prime of his career. And he is 6'5". And so there's two ways to look at if the Spurs were to get a player like Reeves. I am actually for this move. If you're San Antonio, I think this is a good option for you. Where let's just ask that first question. With Reeves, Wemby, Vassell, and Sohan as your foundation, how far can the Spurs go? So there, I think they're still more so like what I said with VanVleet. They're like that 7 to like playing range. I don't think they're quite there yet, you know, to be one of those top teams out west. But it's because of the flexibility in Reeves's deal that really gives San Antonio a good chance to get up to contention level in years 3 and 4, or in years 1 and 2 or 3 and 4 of this deal. So the reason why is because they would have a lot of flexibility financially to add a player in free agency, you sign the player outright, or even trade for a player on a team currently. Why? Because of that, those low numbers of Reeves's first 2 years of his deal. Again, in year 1, he would only make $11.4 million. In year 2, $11.9 million. And then in years 3 and 4 is when his salary balloons up to almost $29 million. So that, again, you would have to take advantage of those first 2 years to try to add some players to your team if you're San Antonio in this case. So let's just say that they added Reeves in an offer sheet. So he's making $11.4 this season. The Spurs still have a lot of flexibility cap-wise. They could have $20 million to $27 million still in cap space this summer to either sign a free agent or trade for a player. And then next summer, again, Reeves is only making in year 2 $11.9 million. The Spurs could have up to $52 million in cap space. And this is assuming that Devin Vassell's already signed his extension, maybe, which I'm projecting to be like around the $25 million range. So again, you have $52 million to, again, go out and pursue a max level free agent, or you could at least try to trade for a player that's on a team as well. So again, there's a lot of flexibility in these first 2 years for the Spurs if they were to add Reeves to continue to make a pretty good team out there before Reeves' contract balloons in years 3 and 4. And I know that $28 million sounds like a lot in years 3 and 4 when I say balloons, but it's really not when the cap's going to continue to go up. So I think that, so out of all three of these deals, that I discussed today, again, I would say if I had to rank them, I would say, you know, you go after Jaylen Brown if you can. I don't think that's going to happen just because I think Boston's going to offer him the Supermax. Number two, I'd say yes, I think Reeves is a good a choice to pursue in terms of free agency if the Spurs can pry him away from the Lakers because he's young. He's showing too. I think one thing to give credit to Reeves is that he showed on the biggest stage in the playoffs that he can be an impactful player. And I think that's a key takeaway, is that we really saw in the playoffs that he really came through. Now, the last player in terms of, if I had to rank these deals, again, I would say third is VanVleet, just because, again, he's getting older. He's already at 29 when he signs this new deal. He's got the height disadvantage at 6'1". And again, I don't know if he really moves the needle for you, whereas Reeves and Reeves gives you that financial flexibility to continue to make your team better. And Brown is just already an established player, an All-NBA level player that would immediately have an impact on your team. So again, those are just my thoughts on this episode. It ended up being pretty long here, just me talking anyway. But hopefully that answered your questions. And again, it gives you a lot of background info in the event that we start to see this summer that the Spurs are interested in Austin Reeves, or the Spurs want to try to trade for Jaylen Brown, or interested in Fred VanVleet. We have some more. Now you can come back to this episode and you can look at all the financials in terms of how it's going to work out and who those players are. So to close this episode out, I want to say thank you all for listening to this episode. If you would like me to answer a question during the offseason, please send your questions to @PaulGarciaNBA on Twitter. One of my favorite things to do this offseason is get a question that I don't immediately know the answer to and actually have to research it. I really like doing that, especially when it comes to financial stuff, stats-wise. Those are really interesting questions for me. So that's one thing I really enjoy about the offseason is just getting to do the research and then presenting it to you all in a broad way here. I also want to say thank you to Joe Garcia for mixing and producing this episode. From all of us at Project Spurs, stay safe and have a great day.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.